Welcome to Bio, a podcast produced by the Biographers International Organization. Bio is devoted to promoting the work of biographers and advocating for biography as a genre with the support of biographers and biography lovers worldwide. I'm Bio member Jenny Skoog in New York City. On each episode, we talk with biographers about their work. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are that you're already a fan of reading and writing biography. And if you're a biographer or a biography lover, you probably crave a community of other like minds. It just so happens that you've tuned into the right channel. I'm Bio member Jenny Skoog in New York City. For the first 10 years of Bio's existence as a formal organization, biographers convened at Bio's conference once a year, hosted by different cities in the United States. During the pandemic, Bio held its conferences virtually. By 2023, then-President Linda Leavell spearheaded an annual biography lab, a one-day virtual event in January on the craft of biography. This year, Bio President Steve Paul has arranged for a new conference in Montgomery, Alabama. Co-sponsored by Troy University, this regional conference aims to tell the stories of Black lives through biography. Biography lovers will convene in the city known as the Capital of Dreams on March 21st and 22nd, 2025, to learn from seasoned biographers such as Alelia Bundles and David Greenberg. They, along with a dozen panelists and moderators, will shine a spotlight on the joys and challenges of producing biographies of Black subjects. Not to miss are the Legacy Museum tours and other Equal Justice Initiative sites. The person who came up with the idea to meet in Montgomery also happens to be one of the founders here at Bio. Ray Anthony Shepard's stories provide young readers with an engaging and corrective understanding of race in American history. His award-winning books include Now or Never, the 54th Massachusetts Infantry's War to End Slavery, Runaway, the Daring Escape of Ona Judge, and A Long Time Coming, a lyrical biography of race in America from Ona Judge to Barack Obama. In early February 2025, I caught up with Ray Shepard on Zoom to talk about his encore career in biography. I began our conversation by asking him why he writes biography for young readers.
It's a natural call for me as a former middle school teacher and also as a retired educational publisher. I have spent my whole professional career bringing stories, primarily stories that take place in history, to elementary and middle school and secondary level. When I retired and decided to try my hand at launching a new encore career, if you like, biography spoke to me. And because of my experience as a teacher, it was natural to focus on young readers. At the same time, I wanted to tell stories that were outside the textbook.
What is it about your past or your upbringing or your career that made you see a gap in education for young readers?
Well, the primary answer is being Black and being Black for 85 years. When I was a kid in Nebraska and basically in a white town, in no textbooks did you find Black characters, subjects, not even Harriet Tubman. Perhaps there was George Washington Carver, would have been an exception, certainly not Frederick Douglass. And I was in graduate school before I encountered a Black author in school, and that was Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man. So I write books that didn't exist when I was a kid, didn't exist when I was a teacher, and books that I couldn't publish as a textbook editor.
What constitutes a Ray A. Shepard biographical subject?
I'm trying to provide readers, all readers, an opportunity to quietly reflect on the corrosive impact of race in their lives. Whether they're Asian or white or Black, it is a corrosive myth that organizes our lives.
You've written about Ona Judge and Barack Obama, among others.
Well, my very first book was on the Massachusetts 54th Regiment, a Civil War regiment. It was the first state-funded regiment that came into existence. One of the things overlooked in the Emancipation Proclamation was that it shifted the war to a war to end slavery. and it allowed the enlistment of black soldiers. The Massachusetts Regiment was the first regiment. These soldiers fought without pay because the federal government wanted to pay them at a different amount than they were paying white soldiers. And in addition to that, the federal government or the Army required the black soldiers to pay for their own uniforms. And so they refused and fought and died over a period of 18 months in order to get equal pay. And so that's the story of all the stories that appear in the Civil War in school books or that kids are exposed to. That's a story that's not told. I'm telling old stories in new ways. I'm telling new stories within the context of old stories, if that makes any sense.
What's the difference between writing a biography for mature readers and writing a biography for youth?
The majority of my books are cradle to grave. The small runaway book about Ona Judge is just one day, is a slice. The other books are cradle to grave. And I spend more time in the younger life. I think it allows the reader to relate to the individual and also to show that that individual, who you may know, they may know as an icon, Martin Luther King, Barack Obama, was a normal kid with fears and insecurities and dreams and doubts. I want to stress that a hero is not someone who is extraordinary. It is someone whose actions are extraordinary.
When you're writing a biography for young people, what are the most important elements that you need to keep in mind?
Keep in mind, especially now, the readers are easily distracted, and that's true regardless of age. How much time are we spending on our cell phone, on Instagram? For the news, we only want the headlines. For kids, there are video games, there are friends, there are sports, there are school books, and there are wonderful novels too, and graphic novels. Recent graphic novels are super, super popular and important. So then you come to a biography. You're really into a small niche. It's an unusual reader who will, oh, I want to read a biography. So your job is, if they pick up the book, your job is to grab them and hold them. And you do that by the way in which you structure the book, the way in which you present your subject, your character, and the problems she is going to face. And the grit she's going to show to overcome those issues. In other words, the emphasis is on storytelling. It doesn't mean biographies for mature readers are not storytelling based, but the emphasis, I think, are slightly different.
How important is it for you to find the right illustrator for your biographies?
Believe it or not, the author has nothing to do with it. The publisher does that. I have three books published and two in production now. Of the three books that are illustrated, the publisher selected the illustrators, and they've made wise choices. Just like the illustrator doesn't get to select the author, it's only fair that the author doesn't select the. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not informed. One time, an editor sent me two or three or four examples of different illustrators, and I weighed in, but I didn't have veto power. And if I recommended someone and they disagreed, the person they wanted was the one chosen. But I've been very fortunate for my three illustrated books, and one's not out yet. I've worked with two illustrators. One illustrator I'm working with who did A Long Time Coming, I'm working with now on a new book. So I'm very happy to be working with him again. And two other books I've done, I've used photographs and I've been the photo researcher.
How did you decide which photos to incorporate into that book?
I sort of want to make sure they match key moments in the narrative. And ideally, you want photos of the individual when they're young as well, at least one or two. So that's important.
Is there anything that you want to tell our audience about writing biography for young people?
A YA biography may be 100, 200, 300 pages and not 500, 800 pages, but that doesn't mean it's easier. Just think that writing for young readers is easier than writing for adults is to think that writing a sonnet is easier than writing a novel. We're all practitioners of a craft. The craft of writing for young readers requires the same effort and passion that it does for a mature reader.
The Ray A. Sheppard Award, not necessarily awarded annually, honors volunteers whose work goes above and beyond the call of duty. It was created in your honor for organizing the first bio conference almost single-handedly. Why do you think it's so important for biographers to meet?
I'm a big believer. If you want to do something, you should associate, put yourself in relationship with those who are successfully doing what you aspire to do. So when I joined a local biography group, it was an attempt for me, because I wanted to write biographies, in addition to trying to teach myself, I needed to be in association with those who were successful at it. Fortunately, in Boston, we have a number of writers, and it put me in relationship with Nigel Hamilton, for example, and others. And so then when it came time, when the idea of an international group and looking for a place, it was suggested it would be held in Boston because someone here was at UMass and the facilities were available at no cost. And so it's a question of, well, let's get organized and do it. And I had just retired from educational publishing where we do conferences all the time. And so actually planning a conference for me at that time, I thought, well, that's easier than writing a book. So I spent 6 months with others helping to put together the program. So I think it was in Boston a couple years and then moved to DC and then Boston and then New York. I was driven by the fact I wanted to be a biographer. I didn't have a full understanding of what that meant, but I knew if I hung out with practitioners, I would learn.
Whose idea was it to name this award after you?
Jamie's the one that came up with the idea of bio, and his daughter, I think, did the logo. I talk about putting yourself in association with people who are successful. So working with Jamie and Nigel to sort of get this conference off the ground. Kitty Kelly comes involved. Here's a guy who hasn't, certainly hasn't published a book, hasn't even written a manuscript. So suddenly I'm talking to biographers. Damn, I might be one too.
So tell me about that very first conference. What was your role in pulling it off?
We put together panels and we had different panels going on at the same time. So we had a number of panels. We found agents who were willing to come and sit down and do a 5 minute, 10 minute interview with writers who could talk about their ideas. We worked out the catering with the UMass, wrote a program, found a printer, talked to a couple hotels, got discounted rates near the university. It's like if you're planning a wedding or a big party.
So this spring, Bio is hosting a conference in Montgomery, Alabama. Why Montgomery?
I do site visits for all of my sites in any story. As soon as COVID ended, I had written the manuscript for a long time coming, but we needed to go what we'll call a civil rights tour because I needed to check all the sites. And so eventually I took Montgomery because that's where King started. That's where the Selma to Montgomery March. It's where Rosa Parks. And while I'm there, I was thinking, Montgomery was critical in the slave trade, the domestic slave trade. And we were staying in a hotel built on the site of the Cotton Exchange. And across the street were the buildings, warehouses where slaves were kept. When it came off the boat, off the Alabama River, they were housed in these detention centers, if you like, before being sent out to six different slave markets. And King's Church Dexter Baptist, which is located right across the street from the state capitol. And I always wondered, why is there a black church right across the street from the state capitol? And the reason was it was a slave market. The church is built on the grounds of a slave market. And not too far from that state capitol is the Confederate White House, where Jefferson Davis sent the order to begin firing on Fort Sumner, which initiated the Civil War. An iconic place where slavery is key, where civil rights is key. And then on top of that, you have the Equal Justice Initiative there with their three sites. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice to bring biographers together to talk about how do we tell stories about Black lives? The country as a whole is about to celebrate America 250. Biographies tell us about America from the inside. Take David Greenberg's John Lewis, or David Blight's Frederick Douglass, or Tamala Paine's Malcolm X. You're getting insight into the corrosiveness of race. How do you tell that story? And better yet, how are we going to continue to tell that story in new ways? And so to bring together some great minds, and I think we've done that with the planning of this conference, is an opportunity for people to reflect on not only the craft of writing biographies, but writing about Black subjects. How do you do the research? Especially now, today, how do you create a story that people were willing to read, given the current administration's pushback on? We don't want to make readers, students, adults, the army, the world uncomfortable by going in depth on that experience. For me, Montgomery is iconic. It's one thing to have an idea. This conference would not happen without the support of others. And pulling something off this size and getting speakers that we have is a team effort. I may be thought of as the person who initiated the first BIAL conference, but there was a team in place. And this conference, there's a terrific team in place. Good Lord willing, we'll have a successful conference.
What can attendees expect at the Montgomery Conference?
On Friday, we will be visiting the three equal justice sites. For anyone who's not been there, that alone will justify the trip to Montgomery. There's also the Rosa Parks Museum there as well. The second benefit, of course, is all the brilliant minds, mine excluded, that are going to be there sharing how they went about their work, how they chose to tell the story. What are the problems of creating an accurate, engaging, authentic, excellent biography about a black subject? And I suppose the answer to that question is it is the same as creating such a work for any subject, except the archives can be limited. There's so much that the average reader doesn't know. So much in American history has been erased. For the conference, though, you've got the site visits, you've got panelists and these keynoters who are terrific examples of practitioners. And then you've got the relationship, the interaction, networking opportunity. And for those who are thinking about writing biographies, or from those of us who spend all year by yourself talking to yourself or talking to your computer, and here's a chance to get around and hang out with and drink with 30 or 40 people who are doing what you're doing, damn, I want to be there. You want to be a biographer? Come to Montgomery. You want to write about Black lives? Come to Montgomery. Okay, so that's it.
That was Ray Anthony Shepherd talking with me about his invaluable work here at BIO and his career writing biographies for young readers. To learn more about the Montgomery Conference, visit our website, biographersinternational.org, and click on the Conferences tab. I'm BIO member and producer Jenny Skoog in New York City. Our executive producer is Sonia Williams. Darren Nesblitt created our theme music. Thanks for listening.